From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia pushes digital health innovations solution at G20 Health Ministers Meeting. 5 agreements forged at the 55th ASEAN Economic Ministers Meeting in Semarang, Central Jawa. Indonesia to strengthen commitment with Japan, India on G20 Digital Economy Working Group. Now the news in detail. At the G20 Health Ministers Meeting in Gandhinagar, Gujarat, India on Saturday, Indonesian Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin called for the implementation of digital solutions and innovations in the health sector. He pushed for the application of new technologies and artificial intelligence that would improve health services by expanding access, enhancing service quality, and integrating health information systems. He also emphasized that the digital initiatives being promoted by the G20 are not supposed to be carried out by countries individually, and there should also be efforts to advance data standardization, and for this reason, Indonesia is supporting the global initiative on digital health to unite efforts and investments in the digital health sector globally. 5 agreements were forged at the 55th ASEAN or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Economic Ministers Meeting in Semarang, Central Jawa on Saturday. Indonesian Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan told the press after the meeting that the agreements included the overall completion of the ASEAN Services Facilitation Framework and the signing of the second protocol to amend the ASEAN, Australia and New Zealand Framework, among others. Within the ASEAN Services Facilitation Framework, it is also possible for medical professionals in ASEAN to work in other countries within the region, he added. Besides the completion of the framework and the update of the ASEAN, Australia and New Zealand Framework, another thing that was agreed at the meeting was the ratification of the study on the ASEAN Digital Economy Framework Agreement, and Indonesia pushed 7 priority agreements at the 55th ASEAN Economic Ministers Meeting. The Indonesian Trade Minister said that the other 2 priority agreements are targeted for completion by the end of 2023. The series of the 55th ASEAN Economic Ministers and related meetings are being held from August the 17th until 22nd in Semarang, Central Jawa. Indonesia's Minister of Communication and Informatics Budi Aristiadi said he would intensify commitment with Japan and India on 3 priority issues of the Digital Economy Working Group of India's G20 presidency in 2023. Minister Setiadi held a bilateral meeting with Japanese Minister of Digital Transformation Taro Kono, accompanied by Minister of Home Affairs Suge Yoshifumi and Indian Minister of Electronics and Information Technology Ashwini Vaishnaw at the G20 Digital Economy Minister Meeting in India on Friday, August the 18th. During the meeting, the minister remarked that each side discussed issues pertaining to the global economy. He also expressed hope that the meeting would bolster the sound relations between G20 member countries and facilitate common views on priority issues of Digital Economy Working Group this year, he noted in a statement received in Jakarta on Saturday. Hurricane Hillary brought heavy rains on Saturday, August 19, to portion of Mexico Baja California Peninsula and the southwestern United States. The storm had weakened on Saturday from a powerful Category 4 to Category 2 on the 5-step Saffir-Simpson scale, but it was still deemed capable of extensive damage. The U.S. National Hurricane Center said hurricane conditions were expected to continue along the Baja California coast through Sunday morning. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida made a brief visit to the tsunami wreck Fukushima nuclear plant on Sunday to highlight the safety of an impending release of treated radioactive wastewater into the Pacific Ocean. The release was a divisive plan that his government wants to start soon despite protests at home and abroad. His trip came hours after he returned home on Saturday from a summit with U.S. and South Korean leaders at the American presidential retreat of Camp David. Before leaving Washington on Friday, Kishida said it is time to make a decision on the treated water's release date, which has not been set due to the controversy surrounding the plan. The vice chairman of jailed Pakistani former Prime Minister Imran Khan's party was arrested on Saturday, August 19th. A spokesman said it was part of a widening crackdown on a former ruling party. Authorities have made widespread arrests targeting Khan's Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf party in recent months, crushing his grassroots power by rounding up thousands of his supporters as well as senior leaders. Shah Mahmud Qureshi, who served as Khan's foreign minister, was arrested in the capital Islamabad shortly after giving a press conference in which he slammed authorities for delaying elections. The 3-year sentence disqualifies him from taking part in elections, although many politicians, including outgoing Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif and his brother former Premier Nawaz Sharif, have in the past had convictions overturned to make a comeback. Sharif's shaky coalition government that replaced Khan dissolved parliament earlier this month with a caretaker government led by little-known politician Anwar ul Haq Kakar, sworn in to lead the country until elections. Last item. Thailand's former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra is set to return to the kingdom on Tuesday, August the 22nd, the same day as a key parliamentary vote could end a political deadlock. The 74-year-old billionaire was ousted in 2006 military coup and has spent 15 years in self-exile. Thaksin has long said he wanted to return home but faces multiple criminal charges that he says are politically motivated. His return will coincide with an afternoon vote on whether to approve Srettha Thavisin from the Thaksin-linked Phu Thai party as prime minister and end months of political uncertainty since a May general election. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on President Joko Widodo says global constellation to be dealt with anticipatory policy strategy. President Joko Widodo delivered a speech in the submission of the government information on the draft law on the state budget for fiscal year 2024 along with its financial notes at the opening plenary session of the Indonesian House of Representatives for session year 2023-2024 in Jakarta on Wednesday. In his speech, the president said that global fragmentation is very fast, creating supply chain disruption that increase the risk of world food, energy, and financial crisis. For this reason, the president encouraged global constellations to be addressed with anticipatory policy strategies. According to him, economic and fiscal policies must be able to transform the economy to face today's and tomorrow's challenges. In addition, the president also encouraged all parties to respond appropriately and effectively to global and national challenges together. He said the state budget has an important and strategic role in supporting, facilitating, and determining the direction of economic, social, and national defense and security competitiveness policies. On the other hand, the President estimates that the development of digitalization and artificial intelligence in the digital era will dominate the world's economic life, including Indonesia. This technological disruption, according to the president, must also be faced with the right strategy. Therefore, he said, the development of the quality of human resources, physical and non-physical infrastructure related to information technology must continue to be improved. On this occasion, the president also requested that the economic transformation continue to increase the attractiveness of investment and the creation of decent jobs on a massive scale. The head of state emphasized that improving the quality of human resources is a major factor in economic transformation. That was this week's Spotlight.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with August 20, 1993. Oslo Agreement approved. The Oslo Agreement was reached in Oslo, Norway on August 20, 1993 and formally signed in Washington, D.C. on September 13, 1993 by Mahmoud Abbas, who represented the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, and Shimon Peres represented Israel. Central to the Oslo Accords was the establishment of a Palestinian National Authority charged with the responsibility for exercising limited Palestinian self-rule over parts of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and the PLO's international recognition as Israel's partner in negotiations on the permanent status of remaining issues surrounding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Turning to August 20, 2003, the Suramadu Bridge begins construction. Suramadu National Bridge or Suramadu Bridge is a bridge that crosses the Madura Strait connecting Java Island and Madura Island, Indonesia. With a length of 5,438 meters, the Suramadu Bridge is currently the longest bridge in Indonesia. The Suramadu Bridge consists of three parts, namely the overpass, the connecting bridge, and the main bridge. The groundbreaking for the construction of this bridge was carried out by President Megawati Sukarnoputri on August 20, 2003 and was built and inaugurated by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on June 10, 2009. I'll end today in history with August 20, 2008, Spanair flight JK5022 crash. During a short-haul flight from Barajas Airport in Madrid to Gran Canaria Airport in Gran Canaria, Spain, Spanair JK5022 crashed on August 20, 2008. The plane crashed after taking off from Barajas Airport. It was the largest air disaster in Western Europe since the Lockerbie bombing in 1988. With 153 people killed, 7 on their way to hospital. That was today in history.
VOI listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply emails from Amir Jamil and also Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. Hello guys, thank you so much for your greetings and prayers for our country, Indonesia. A few days ago, Voice of Indonesia had a special interview with the Charge d'Affaires at Interim at the Embassy of Pakistan to Indonesia related to the National Day of Pakistan. If you missed the interview, you can watch it on our VOI official YouTube channel. As an appreciation, Mr. Amir Jamil and also Kalab Abbas will play a beautiful song special for you. Enjoy.
Terima kasih.
Still tuning in to the English program from Voice of Indonesia on the frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz, also through website voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia bids to host the 2025 Volleyball World Cup. Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryo Tejo stated on Tuesday that the government approves of Indonesia's proposed bid to host the 2025 Volleyball World Cup. For this reason, Minister Dito Aryo Tejo asked the Central Board of the Indonesian Volleyball Association to convey what is needed and what is being prepared in order to host the Volleyball World Cup, especially in the bidding process. According to him, cross-sectoral coordination is needed to realize the hosting of the Volleyball World Championship. The minister said the government is currently working on Indonesia to host world championships, especially in sports that are considered popular, such as volleyball. Furthermore, Minister Dito Aryo Tejo encouraged regions to have volleyball sports arenas that can accommodate a large number of spectators, at least one arena on each island. This, according to the minister, is an effort to advance volleyball so that it is more evenly distributed so that later, in organizing the league, it can bring high income to the regions. As a form of support to become the host, the Ministry of Youth and Sport, together with the All Indonesian Volleyball Association, encouraged the improvement of volleyball both in terms of training, infrastructure, and its ecosystem. Previously, the All Indonesian Volleyball Association chairman, Imam Sujarwo, had reported Indonesia's plans to run to host the 2025 Volleyball World Cup to President Joko Widodo, And one of the match venues is the Indoor Multifunction Stadium or IMS, or also known as Indonesia Arena at Gelora Bung Karno Senayan, Central Jakarta, which was recently inaugurated by the President. The venue is used because IMS, which has an arena of over 50,000 square meters, can accommodate an audience of more than 16,500 people. IMS infrastructure capacity and support is one of the advantages to carry out international agendas, especially in the field of sports. That was my Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now I would like to reply to an email from Deba Kamal Hazarika in India. In his email, he said he listened to our segment Indonesian Wonder through a frequency 3325 kHz at 1:35 p.m. UTC with the SINPO 43343. Hello, Mr. Hazarika. Thank you for your reception report on our broadcast. As appreciation, a few days ago, I sent a QSL card. Have you received our QSL card? I hope you have received it. So keep listening to our English programs and send your reception report. Thank you.
Sadari,
benar.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you for still joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia on the frequencies 3325 and 4750 kHz, website voanews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app that you can download on your smartphone by typing RRI Playgo. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Cirebon is known as a paradise for culinary tourism in West Java. There are many specialties from the city of Cirebon, also known as the city of shrimp, loved by locals as well as visitors. One of Cirebon's culinary specialties that is quite popular is tahu gejrot or gejrot tofu. Behind the popularity of tahu gejrot, it turns out that there is quite a long history. This culinary dish is said to be one of the legendary foods that has even existed since the Dutch colonial era or before the Indonesian independence. One area known as the birthplace of tahu gejrot is Jati Seeng Village in Ciledug District, Cirebon, Region C. Possibly, it started to be popular around 1919 with the presence of a Chinese community in East Cirebon at that time. The main ingredient, which is tahu or tofu, is known to originally come from China. As time went on, local residents then tried to recreate Chinese specialties in other forms. Tofu or tahu, which was previously only fried, is then made with a mixture of sauce and seasoning such as chili, garlic, shallots, and sugar. From there, tahu gejrot emerged. The sauce used for tahu gejrot itself is made from boiled brown sugar mixed with soy sauce and several other complementary ingredients. Unexpectedly, the local people's creation of tofu-based food turned out to be so popular that in the end, not a few people followed this cooking method until now. The name tahu gejrot comes from the ingredient which is made from tofu, namely the fried tofu pieces with sponge texture. And gejrot comes from the seller's habit of pouring seasoned sauce from a bottle over the tofu pieces. It is said that this process is known as the gejrot because when the salt is poured, there is a sound of jrot, jrot, jrot. If you are traveling to Indonesia and especially to Cirebon, try this tahu gejrot, which has a dominant taste of spicy and sour with a unique presentation because it uses small layeh as a plate. Layeh is a kind of plate or bowl as a base for pounding or grinding activities, for example, making chili sauce and it is made of clay. However, for tahu gejrot, it is used as a plate. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics.
Before we end our segment, listeners' mailbag, I announce that Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is extended until September 25th, 2023. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is in the form of an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, namely Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay with a length of 700 to 800 words, font Arial 12. Then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our website, voinews.id. Let's participate in the Voice of Indonesia Quiz 2023. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
You just listened to the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany.
This miscellany is on anti-diabetic candy, an innovation of UMM students. Diabetes is one of the biggest causes of death in the world. However, treatment in the community is limited to limiting sugar intake or injecting insulin. Usually, diabetics who avoid sweet foods including candy. However, a team of University of Muhammadiyah Malang or UMM students developed an innovation in the form of jelly candy. This candy is a preventive effort, especially among children who really like candy. This anti-diabetic candy successfully passed and was funded by the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology Indonesia in the Student Creative Program. The Student Creativity Program team, Herli Nadiah Ayurosita, said the jelly candy was made with the basic ingredients of jerum bone extract in lempuyang and xylitol bagasse. The choice of this material cannot be separated from the fact that lempuyang rhizome has properties that can be used as an alternative to controlling blood sugar. Moreover, this material is very easy to obtain in Indonesia and traded in the market at an affordable price so that all groups can easily find and use it. So far, according to Herlina, there has been no research on jerum bone extract in lempuyang with xylitol bagasse. Some of them only discuss anti-hyperglycemia with ginger extract, which only reduces high blood sugar levels in the body. Until now, the process of making candy has entered the stage of extracting the fragrant lempuyang plant and fermenting xylitol. This candy can be an alternative to diabetes prevention for children because it is low in sugar. That was Miscellany today.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Detiklah terhenti di ujung malam. Aku tanpamu Pagi pun mengembun mendekat cepat Tetap tanpamu Terus tanpamu Inikah saatnya sementara menjadi selamanya Kau tak ada Perlahan menjauh lalu hilang Andaikan aku mampu putar kembali waktu Jadikan kita paling bahagia di dunia Takkan ada yang mampu pisahkan ku Terus tanpamu
lagi selama kau tak ada. Perlahan menjauh lalu hilang. Andaikan aku mampu putar kembali waktu, jadikan kita paling bahagia di dunia. Takkan ada yang mampu pisahkan ku dan kamu. Tak perlu ada patah hati seperti
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's music corner presents an Indonesian pop song, Emosi Jiwa. The song Emosi Jiwa, created by Hari Sabar, performed by Lita Zain and Yana Julio, was released in 1988 as the original soundtrack to the film Catatan Si Boy 2. In 2023, this song was sung again by Fabio Asher and Prinsa Mandagi, and arranged by renowned producer, arranger and composer Andi Rianto. In this new version of the song Emosi Jiwa, Andi Rianto still wants to maintain the characteristics of the song while still being able to give a new feel. This song tells about a couple who is in love. They express feelings of longing for each other. Open with the grand musical instrument, this song is even more beautiful thanks to the voices of Fabio Asher and Prinsa Mandagi. According to him, this song is very romantic because it conveys a message from the love story of Boy and Nuke in the film Catatan Si Boy. Well, let's have a nostalgic moment with the song Emosi Jiwa, the new version by Prinsa Mandagi and Fabio Asher. Enjoy!
Ah. Sangatlah manis kasih tersayang, ungkapan rasa hatiku. Kau lebih membara yang membakar cinta padamu seorang emosi jiwa. Hanyut terbawa angan membuat rasa tak berdaya saat ini.
Belah dadaku, andai kau ragu begitu sayangku.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sampai nanti aku takkan pergi. Dia yang dulu tak dapat menggantikan kamu.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and you can also send email to VOI@voinews.id. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.